That's a new
Recording.
thing.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, what the hell? Just happened.
Oh, I need to double check my phone, make sure it's not going to ring. Or at least
I like that they're using old school like telephone audio.
Yeah, that was really low quality audio, wasn't it?
All right.
What's missing is at the beginning, it has to say talk show recorded live.
Oh my God, I forgot all about talk that. Shoe.
Oh.
Talk show. Will it work or won't it? Let's see. It's a gamble every time. Yeah, the Zoom thing saying, hey, this is being recorded, that popped up for me for the first time. Today is Thursday, so on Tuesday, I hadn't seen it before, and I assumed it was because the person that I was on a Zoom call with was someplace where they had to announce that they're recording, and I think it's actually just a change across the board.
Okay, I mean, it could also be. I mean, we're in the European Union. Well, I'm in the European Union. So
that's true.
I think the rules in the UK are probably the same. So
that's true. And and I'm in Colorado, where you only need one party consent, and the party that can consent includes the person that's doing the recording. That's so
automatic consent, right?
It's yeah. So I can record anything and not tell anyone, and it's perfectly fine.
Yeah, Arizona is the same.
It certainly makes it a lot easier.
Does that count for your lawmakers after one has coughed to having sex with a minor?
This has been around much longer than our current really messed up news cycle, but. In Colorado, the age of consent is 15, and it has been for like over 100 years. And all I can figure is that there was one politician that really needed the age of consent to be 15 to avoid a scandal. And so that's what it became.
Oh, I'm pretty sure before that, nobody, there was no age of consent. Like it was just assumed everything was fine. And then at some point someone wanted one. So they set it to 15. So everything was still fine. They probably had a relationship with a 15-year-old and they were like, okay, if you set it to 15, then we're good. So
then we're good. Yeah. Totally plausible.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think the lowest age in the
wants
US
to know the lowest age of consent in the United States.
I think it's 13 or 14.
And that's probably that's probably one of the southeastern states.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I would guess so.
Yeah. But there are states where with parental consent, you can get married at 12.
Oh. Jesus.
Yeah, that's messed up. All right. I guess we should actually really start the show instead of doing an episode about messed up age of consent laws in the United States.
Well, I've said two messages to you.
There's too many jokes about Utah for that one. It's...
They write themselves.
Mm-hmm. They do.
All right. Here we go. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the big show. I am Jeff Gamet, and once again, I am sitting in for Ewan Rankin. He is going through his reintroduction to the wild phase. And when you do that, you have to take the animal and give them small doses of of their natural environment or simulate their natural environment. And so he's in that transition phase. So, yeah, so he's actually back in his artificial habitat and is being monitored. And if he continues to show that his behavior for interacting in the wild is returning, then we'll go ahead and bring him on for more shows. And this is just normal. This is just how it works. You'll see the same thing with otters or deer or birds. It's, you know, it's just wildlife. And we still haven't told Ewan where we put his radio tracker so that we can monitor his progress when he's fully reintroduced to the wild. It's for the best. Hey, we have an awesome panel here today. And we will just start with ladies first. Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing very well. Short week so far. Monday was a public holiday, so I worked. So there was that. I didn't have anything else to do, so I worked. I was like, yeah. Get some overtime pay.
Nice.
I'll take that.
Sure.
I'll take that. Yeah, and there's another one next week, by the way. So nothing getting done.
Of course, there's another one next week.
Yeah, next week is one of those infamous Thursdays where there's a bridging day on Friday. A lot of people take that off, including me. I took Friday off for no reason whatsoever.
That's just beautiful.
I said I can't do anything anyway.
That's absolutely beautiful. Yeah, I think we have a holiday on Monday. I think Memorial Day is coming up this next week.
Memorial Day should be up.
Yeah, so one of the few holidays we get.
Yeah, Monday, 31st.
Yeah, and if you work retail or if you work in restaurant services, basically, if you do a job that isn't a government job or a bank job, you probably still have to work on Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
Welcome to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not one of the big four holidays that everybody gets off, or almost everybody gets off.
What do you have to do? Go and visit a memorial.
Yeah.
The most of the memorials you don't want to visit. So.
Yeah. Rich, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you, Jeff. It's good to be here.
It's great to have you. And I'm liking your shirt. The part of it I can see.
The future is here. Get your 1.44 megabyte floppy disk now. You can put several Word documents on them.
That's just amazing.
Well, it's twice the size. So.
That's it. It's the high density stuff. That's what you want.
Yeah. Those were the good discs.
They were.
Yeah.
I found a pack of them in my box room the other day that I've just been keeping hold of for prosperity. And they are weird looking things. I'm not used to them at all. To think I used to carry like 40 of them around in my school bag every day.
I've got 24 down here that got Windows 3.1 on.
Oh, yes. Wow. Installing Windows from floppy disks.
I have done that.
My favorite book I've ever seen had, like, I don't remember what the book was about, but it had, like, it was a little star on it, and it said, the whole internet on two disks.
There was a time when that was possible.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know what the book was about, some computer science stuff, but it had the whole internet on it.
Batwench says she uses the floppy disks as coasters since she doesn't have any AOL CDs around. Batwench, I was using a floppy disk as a coaster for years, and one day it disappeared, and I have no idea why, where it went. All I can figure is that I must have had some friend over at the house that was just so fascinated by this relic that they snatched it.
Admit it, Jeff. You had some government secret on that disc and you were just putting it on a table and someone stole it.
I can now I'll never know who killed Kennedy.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, Mueller, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I've had a bit of a cycle today and then uploading some of the videos up to YouTube to get them off my computer.
Why didn't you just put them on floppy disk?
Well, I think actually I'd have to span them over about 50. And I don't think I've got enough left.
Yeah, well, that's what Amazon is for.
I've got some rewritable DVDs down there, but I'd get one video on each. So, no, not really.
Not even that. I've just looked at it. An hour of 4K footage is 15.8 gigabytes.
Yeah, that's not enough.
Yeah,
so how much is that? Yeah, I don't know how many frames you get in. Yeah.
DVDs about 4.7 gigabytes, so it's about 4 DVDs.
Mm-hmm. Not many frames on a floppy disk.
No. I didn't really think about it, did I?
Yeah, you really should have thought this through.
Luckily, I've got a stack of hard drives there, 600 gig each, that do all the backup.
600 gig? Only 600 gig?
Yeah, 600 kilobytes.
Oh, no. Oh, God. Okay. Gig. They're big anyway. It's been a long time.
Edwin's just saying she knows a place at work that still uses 5.25-inch disks. I know. I think a lot of government systems, especially in the military, are still run out of, I think, 5.25 or 3.5 inches. I think they're slowly migrating away from it, but
I
think we migrated away at work early 2000s because the system was a touchscreen system and you had to boot it off a 5-point-whatever floppy disk. But it took so long. If it went down, it took so long to get it back up, and you lost the whole system for probably best part of 30, 40 minutes. So we went up to Windows 7, which they're probably still on, actually.
You'll need more floppies for that.
Well, actually, I just thought they've actually changed the radio system now, so they probably have actually changed. I don't know what they're on there.
Didn't someone, I don't remember, was it Vista or Windows 7? Someone put one of those on floppy disks. And it was a ridiculous amount of disks.
Where would they even find that many floppies now?
If you think about it, it was like mid-2000s. So
see if Amazon sell them.
Mid to late 2000s. That at that point, you probably would have been able to find them. So
that's true. You could probably go pick them up by the case at Office Depot still.
For like a dollar.
Right.
You can still buy the drives on Amazon.
Of course,
you can buy anything discs. On Amazon.
A pack of 10 discs is $32.99.
Oh, my God. Jesus, no.
That reminds me of my university where I got my bachelor's degree. They had a whole pallet of punch cards.
Wow.
That they bought, I don't know when, but very late, like probably in the 80s or something. And then basically immediately migrated away from that system because obviously it was old. So they had for literal decades, they had punch cards as like little notepads, basically. Like whenever I went to the IT department, I came back with like a full stack of them. They had a very convenient size. Like it was basically like a white, like a blackboard.
Mm-hmm.
So it was actually very convenient. I probably still have some somewhere.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, I have to look for them. I should still have them.
Yeah, if you find them, you have to bring them on the show.
I will. There should be at least one somewhere.
Awesome.
I'm surprised, actually, that women haven't complained about getting a bachelor's degree.
Oh, I'm a master, so I don't care.
Oh, yeah, master's is even worse. Shouldn't it be a mistress's?
All right, well, who has the first story? Subject.
let's go for the stories before it goes downhill.
Yeah. Here's the story.
Rich. All right, Rich has the first story. Oh, I'm glad you brought this one.
Yeah. Tell us apparently, about
the Valve gaming device.
Apparently, Valve are working on another gaming device, which is something they've done before with mixed results. Some of their things have been questionable and not done so well. Other things have been actually pretty good and maybe been discontinued a little early. I still wish they were more aggressively pursuing the Steam Link thing, because I really enjoy playing Steam games on my TV. Mm-hmm. That's really good. But they're apparently now working on a device that would be very similar to a Nintendo Switch and run Steam games. Presumably, I would imagine powered off at like an AMD system on a chip with the built-in graphics, nice portable USB-C powered handheld gaming thing. And I already want one, please. That would be very good. As much as I love the Switch, and it's awesome. It's one of my, perhaps my all-time favorite console, but a handheld Switch, a handheld Steam machine would be rather special, I think. And with all the advances we've seen in sort of onboard graphics, you know, AMD are doing pretty well with it, quite like Apple are. It's really only Intel that is screwing up entirely. So if you bang yourself an AMD chip in there, this could be quite a nifty, powerful little device for playing all these, I hesitate to say bigger games. God, I see PC games as somehow bigger than all the other games. I don't know what that's about. It's completely wrong. But yeah, I'm interested, Valve. Yes, please. You could do this, and I will endeavor to buy one for some reason. Even though I never leave the house, really.
I didn't even know Valve had ever produced any kind of hardware, so I'm surprised.
Yeah, they did a line in what they called Steam Machines.
I just put the link in the chat.
Yeah, and it's, most of those were sort of third party. They came up with, I think, a stand like the 3DO. Let's do a standard, and then everyone can make one of these, and the price will go down, and we'll sell millions.
And that didn't happen.
That didn't happen, much like for the 3DO. And they did the controller, the Steam controller, which got sort of mixed press. I was a fan of it. I can admit it had shortcomings, but when you're trying to make a controller that will deal with keyboard and mouse games, and ideally any keyboard and mouse game, I think they did a really good job of it. And I wish they'd done like a revision, a new generation of it, because I think they could have worked a lot of kinks out. I just assume they didn't sell as well as they'd liked.
That's my assumption. I mean, considering at the end, you would pay more in shipping than you would for the device to get it shipped to you.
Yeah, I think that's how I got mine.
I think that's how most people got them.
Yeah, they would do sales of, yeah, they're $1 today. Get one. Okay. Buy lots of things for $1.
That's how I got my Steam Link.
That's it. Also the Steam Link. Yes, everybody's quoting RoboCop now. I know. And I'm quite excited about this. I like this idea of more portable gaming, and that the what we class as sort of the lower end of processing and graphics is reaching the point where it's still high enough to do a lot with. It's not quite the days of floppy disks anymore, is it? Thank God.
No.
Yeah.
It's barely the days of disks at all. Like, everything is digital now.
I have nothing I can put a disk in my house anymore. It's quite weird. I don't miss it, I'll be honest. I really don't miss it. And yet at the same time, I kind of pine over the physical media of having that collection of games and that sort of thing. I try and buy physical games whenever I can, but God, gave up on that idea for the PC years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I've just moved too many times for anything like that.
Yeah, no, I can understand that.
Yep. Rich, I'm with you. I am very excited about this, but with reservations, because they have a track record.
Yeah. I wouldn't still, pre-order
it. This is compelling.
It really is. And other companies have done something similar. It's not a pie in the sky kind of thing. These things do sort of exist, obviously, just not by Valve. And they're, according to this report, making it run Linux, because they have a mm-hmm. Steam version of Linux that their games run on. And I think, you know, obviously putting Windows on it adds all the overhead of running Windows and that sort of thing.
And also the cost.
The cost, of mm-hmm. course, yeah. You're paying Microsoft a license fee, you're passing that on to the consumer, and you want to get this out as cheaply as possible. Because
I thought this was suppose, Linux.
Well, what is? The
I thought
Steam
this was
thing.
Linux. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, right. Welcome to the conversation.
Yeah. All right. Microsoft?
I did, yeah, because it's not Microsoft.
All right.
Yeah, there you go. So it should be hopefully nice and snappy, nice and quick, and good on battery life. All things Microsoft are aiming for still. But I have high hopes for this. We'll see what happens.
I think compared to, what was it, according to Wikipedia, it was 2015 when the Steam machines were sold. 2015, 2016. I mean, the state of hardware and the state of operating systems is different these days. Like, other than graphics cards, which are a whole separate issue, you don't need the most powerful machines to run those games.
The trouble is you needed a good internet connection, didn't you, for those?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually more important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's only been recently where the internet, even here, has got to the stage where it's probably good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Could we move any slower on internet over here? It is.
Well, we're moving faster in America, so.
Yes, you are. Yeah, if you want to see how to move slower, study the United States.
Yeah. If you want to see how to move backwards.
And to yes, see that how is to move possible. Backwards. Yes. Yep. Yeah, okay. I can't even get fiber where I am. And I live fiber in the middle of Boulder.
Mm-hmm.
I've got fiber to the top of the street. And then it's copper the last few hundred meters.
Oh, that's a lot closer than I am.
I think I'm on aluminium here.
I'll get 350 down and 35 up at the moment.
Yeah, that's way better than me. No, seriously, aluminium wires, they did that around here. It's much cheaper than copper, but crap.
Well, Rich, the great thing about the aluminum wires is that when they get hot, they expand. So you have more bandwidth, right?
Yeah, that's exactly how that works. I like that. Yeah.
Okay. Not sure that's how that works, but okay.
Because they're wider. I no, that makes perfect sense to me. Yeah. The data can flow through more easily.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally makes sense.
Which is why it slows down when it rains and it's cold, because the wires are contracting.
Because they contract. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I'm with you. Makes
totally
sense
makes
me.
Sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right. So, Rich, as I recall, they're not saying when to expect this to come out.
No, don't be holding your breath, anyone. I doubt we'll see this for Christmas 2021. Maybe
I would be
for
surprised.
Next year. Yeah, I mean, if not only from where they are in the project, but we're still catching up with the demand for hardware from last year, and I don't think this year would be a good year to launch a new console, because everyone's still just gonna I've not got a PS5 yet, come on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Still waiting to find one of those.
Okay.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah.
I've heard it's getting better, but
I've given up on the idea of that yet. Especially for the next year or two. I think just give it some time. And there's not been anything out that I'm itching to play that much that I need to go and start hunting down a PS5 yet. I mean, the new Ratchet and Clank game looks pretty good, but oh dear God, it's 70 quid. Yeah, I'm not in a rush for this. I am not in a rush to drop £600 on a console and then £70 on a game. Humble Bundle's pretty good for
thinking process. It was like, oh
yeah, Humble Bundle's pretty good for $8.99 a month, giving you 10 games. I like that. That one's good. And yep, Xbox Game Pass, Xbox Game Pass, $7.99 a month for all those games. Yeah, and then they want 70 quid for that. Oh my God!
Xbox Game Pass at the moment is £1 for 3 months.
Get that, everybody, if you can. That it's Xbox Game Pass is just by far the best value for gaming thing. For money gaming thing, so that you can spend on it. It's fantastic. I can't recommend it. And for PC as well.
Yeah, well, that's why I do it. I get it. And then if I did get a console, I'd have to get a Microsoft one because it wouldn't be worth getting a PlayStation.
That's why. See, I'm tempted by the Xbox Series X, which is cheaper and in stock because no one
is else it in wants stock
one.
Now.
I believe they are. Jesus. I'm just going to double check that. Yeah, $249 delivery by tomorrow.
Oh. No, cheap, way cheaper.
You could buy that and scalp it.
Wow. Batwinch is saying in the chat room that you could get a PS5 for $1,000 on Amazon through resellers and scammers.
Well, honestly, for that price, you can almost fly to the US, and I think you have more luck there getting one.
A little bit more luck.
Yeah, I've heard that they're in stock in some stores.
Looking at graphics cards and stuff the other night, I worked out it's actually cheaper to buy a pre-built PC with the new graphics card and processor in than to try and buy the graphics card and processor as separate components.
Wow.
Yeah,
I've heard that too.
Yeah, things are that bad. It was sort of $1,900 for the PC that I put together, and the cheapest I saw any form of 30 series NVIDIA card was about £1,500.
I think Christina Warren talked about that. I think she got it. She got like a bundle. Like either it was a bundle with something else or it was a PC. I don't remember 100%. But she got it somehow bundled and then basically sold off the rest.
Yeah, it's the way cheaper to do it this year. Yeah. Damn 2020.
Yeah.
I did manage to get a new one before it all went tits up.
Yeah, but it's getting worse in 2021. That's the problem.
Mm. But I've seen lots of companies trying to do sort of an attempt to put hardware in the hands of gamers because this is becoming a serious problem. We'll see how well any of those do. I think Microsoft's trying to do something with the Xbox that if you've got, is it Xbox Live Gold? One of their subscription things that you can get the chance to order an Xbox early or at all.
Yeah, I think we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, I want to say.
I brought a story where the US, if you got the Xbox Gold Pass, you could actually rent an Xbox and then you eventually own it, a bit like a phone contract.
Right.
It's only available in the US at the moment, last time I looked.
Yeah, because they probably can't make enough of those things.
Probably.
That's it. If you could do that, I'd have an Xbox. There'd be no question about it. So get on with that, Microsoft.
Yeah, hop to it.
Yeah, go on.
All right, who has the next story?
I did.
Oh, let me scroll back and find it.
I'll put it in again, just to make it easy for everybody. Oh, that's not the one. So my story is about Amazon. Can you guess what the story is?
My guess is that it involves a very large purchase.
Oh yes, a very, very large purchase. 8.6 billion, 8.46 billion, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely $8.45 billion. I cannot pound. Amazon bought MGM. which means they bought a lot of old IP. Like I don't remember, has MGM done anything worthwhile recently other than James Bond?
The Rocky movies are all MGM, and the Creed ones are going pretty well. I don't know.
All of that is old. All of that is old stuff. I'm pretty sure they're doing something, but I'm just like not remembering it probably. But anyway, I mean, MGM has been kind of in an unlucky position for the last 15 years, I want to say. I mean, they were they were really struggling in the late 2000s, like the whole financial crisis. Really, like, I mean, they went bankrupt, I think, during that time. And since then, yeah, they've struggled a little bit. And there were rumors that there were talks with Apple and with, I don't know, Google, probably some other companies. I don't know, Comcast, I think, was the other one. Definitely Apple, Comcast. And finally, and apparently they were just too expensive. They wanted too much money for too little that they were offering. That never went anywhere. But Amazon decided it's time and bought them for $8.45 billion, which is a heck of a lot of money for, as I said, I don't know what.
You know, Patrice, I'm looking at the MGM website right now, and their strongest offerings currently are TV shows.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, Fargo. Handmaid's Tale, Clarice, Fargo, okay. Get Shorty, Four Weddings and a Funeral, Condor.
Oh, no Stargate? So.
No. Oh, yeah, Stargate.
Stargate is owned by them, but they haven't done anything with it.
True, but there's a rumor that they might do a new Stargate series, and Amanda Tapping
maybe
would be involved. But yeah, that's all just a big
that movie. Rumor has been around for 12 years as well. Like, it hasn't gone anywhere yet.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you know what, as well, though? I mean, apart from buying IP, they're also, I'm assuming, buying a literal film studio somewhere filled with staff who know to make film and TV series and that kind of thing. That in itself could just make their lives just so much easier. I'd rather do that than try and build a whole new studio to make things.
Is that even true? Does MGM actually produce anything? Because usually the studios only buy stuff. Like the production companies that produce, and the studios pay for it. So I'm not even sure about
that. At some point, they did have their own production studios. I don't know if they still do.
Okay.
There's only a way we could find that.
Well, the tricky thing is that it was a part of Disney World. And so when you type in, when you start to Google MGM Studios, that's what you're getting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the franchises, featured franchises. I mean, there's James Bond, as I said. Handmaid's Tale is known. Rocky is like dead, basically. Pink Panther. No.
Bill and
Rocky's
Ted.
Rocky's doing really well. Oh, Bill and Ted as well. They've just had a movie.
Legally Blonde. Robocop. I mean, yeah, all of those exist, but...
Yeah, MGM still own a studio called Century City.
Okay, good. Good
to
know.
It's in Culver City.
Mm-hmm. And actually on their site, they actually own a bunch of production companies.
Oh, they own Orion, United Artists.
Mm-hmm, UA, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice, good to know. And they have MGM Plus, yay. Because who doesn't have a plus service now?
Right, and they have a gaming division.
Did not know that.
I didn't until just now.
We're just learning about stuff. That's funny.
Well, considering Amazon's efforts to get into gaming and their continued failure, buying a company that just by chance also has a gaming division, that could be useful as well. I mean, okay, so what do they have on Steam?
Oh, Steve's got loads.
Yeah, they're not set up for search very well. Anyhow, yeah, so they have some
games. Adam's Family Mystery Mansion. It's one of their games on mobile.
And it's on the Apple App Store.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well, there you go.
That is so funny. Yeah. So, as I said, the funny thing about James Bond is MGM doesn't really control James Bond. The family behind it is actually in full control. They can decide what they want to do with it. So MGM's just kind of paying for it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's worked out for them so far.
Yeah. I mean, MGM used to be a really big name.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, the what's the lion's name?
I want to say Clarence.
Something like that, yeah. I mean, that is so recognizable. Everybody knows that one.
Leo.
Everybody
the
knows
lion.
The sound. Leo, okay. Yeah. Everybody knows the sound as well. Like I said, they used to be everywhere, but I said it. I couldn't remember anything. I mean, I saw the Real Housewives they're actually doing, so okay. I said I couldn't remember anything that they've done recently.
Well,
Vikings, it seems pretty popular over here. I've never seen it, but
mm-hmm. That's on Prime anyway.
So how long before Handmaid's Tale isn't on Hulu anymore? And my guess is the answer is how long was the contract that MGM struck with Hulu?
I would guess at least 5 years. Usually those contracts would be 5 to 10 years.
Yeah. So as soon as Amazon can get out of that contract, mm-hmm. all of that's going to Amazon Prime.
Yeah. They're going to pull up Disney.
Totally. Yeah. And Disney showed them exactly how to do it successfully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bad one just saying in the chat, they're not real housewives. They haven't used a Hoover in their life. there's something to that.
Yeah, I think that's a safe bet. Yep.
I think it's good for MGM. I think it's good for Amazon. They get a lot of content. They get especially a lot of older content, a lot of catalog content. I think it's I mean, is it worth 4 or 5 billion? I don't know. Seems to be like others didn't think so.
But Amazon.
Yeah, does it matter if it's not? Are they going to be like, if only we had that 8.45 billion, we wouldn't have to shut down Amazon?
No.
It's pocket change, isn't it, I suppose? And Jeff Bezos is leaving soon, so he doesn't
exactly
care.
Yeah, exactly. No, it makes sense from a business standpoint, like not from a business standpoint in the sense of they're going to make that money back, but from a strategic standpoint. Amazon gets more content. Amazon gets access to probably a lot of IP that they can use now. They can do, I mean, with the permission of the family, they could probably do like 15 James Bond spin-offs. That's or true. RoboCop. Yeah,
they can have TV
one,
shows.
Whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They can do a lot of things with that.
To be honest, I think just being able to say all the Bond films are now in 4K on Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hell yes.
Probably being able to say that's worth a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So
the Stargate movie and the TV show. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
Yeah.
I've got that off Plex.
I think it's actually on Prime already. If you go look for it, I think Stargate is on there.
But it'll cost them less to have it.
It costs them less and they own it now. So that's it. I'm pretty sure they can do some cool stuff with it.
I'm assuming so. At this point, it feels like an Amazon Prime subscription is no longer I get all of my shipping for free and they threw on all this other content. Mm-hmm. It's now I have all of this content. Oh, and I get shipping for free.
Yeah, it's getting to that point. I mean, especially since free shipping is less of a thing nowadays. Like everybody's offering it basically. It's not a selling point anymore. I mean, Amazon, I don't know whether they did that in the US as well, but in Germany they did that, where it was like the next day shipping was a big deal. That's what the people paid for, that the next day you could have it.
Yeah, the next day, and they're trying to make that even quicker, aren't they?
Yeah, and I mean, the reality was that the postal service in Germany was so efficient that it showed up the next day anyway. So it wasn't, I mean, Germany's not that big. And I mean, in the US, they did like same day deliveries or like even 20 minute deliveries and stuff like that.
Right, so, depending on what area you're in. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten stuff delivered in like 20 minutes. There was something we needed urgently and we had to leave and we got it.
I haven't had 20 minute delivery, but I have ordered something early in the morning and have it show up in mm-hmm. the afternoon.
Yeah.
Which is just crazy.
I've had that once, but it does happen. It just, I don't live in the middle of a big area though. So.
But if you had a Stargate, it could turn up before you ordered it.
Oh yes. That's just true. All you have to do is dial it at the exact right time. So when like there's a solar flare and then it'll go back in time.
Now we know why they've bought MGM.
They want the Stargate. That's it. Yes.
That's it. Amazon wants to be able to deliver something to you before you order it.
Exactly.
Jeff Bezos is in for a bit of disappointment, I think.
I think so too.
It's just a prop, Jeff. It don't work.
Yeah. Sorry. Well, maybe he can team up with Elon and they'll figure it out.
I was going to say that's his next move, then, isn't it? Just we'll make it work.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Moonshot. Next moonshot.
Right.
I do honestly wonder what dumb stuff I would finance if I had Jeff Bezos money. Just
a lot.
Right, you think you can make a Stargate work? Okay, well, just take $10 million. Just go have fun. Come just back do if it. You do make it work. I don't care. Found that down the sofa.
So total side note, but Bezos and investments and stuff, there's now this this thing going on in Congress where they're all pissed off because they think that that NASA throwing money at Bezos for his lunar lander is actually just like a thing where friends are throwing money around at each other and not actually a real lunar lander project.
I mean, isn't that why Bezos started the whatever, what was it called? Blue, is that Blue Origin?
Blue Origin.
Yeah. Like, isn't that the whole reason why he founded it? Because he had money. So he was like, what can I do?
I can go to the moon.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, so they have two lunar landers designed. One is for cargo and the other is for people. And NASA needs lunar landers, so there you go.
Exactly.
You've got to do something with it, I think, or you start feeling guilty that you've got $189 billion sat in the bank. Dear God.
I can't even imagine.
I'm a very sort of left-wing socialist person, but I can get on board with private business and enterprise and being able to make as much money as you're able to go out there and make. But do you need $189 billion, Jeff? What are you going to do with that? Really?
I think seriously. At some point, it's just a number and you don't like, you can't control it anymore. I mean,
yeah.
Look at Apple or look at like even Tesla now.
Mm.
They're making so much money in a minute. You couldn't even spend it if you wanted to.
That's true. Yeah. It's not even real anymore.
Yeah. It's just Jeff, a number on an app.
If you need any help spending that or any, I'm right here.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
we already said that on the Mac show. Like, Tim, Apple should just send us like $4 billion. We'll take it. I said, I'll take it. I'll share it with the rest of the panel. So,
yeah, right. I'll spend Tim Cook's money so quickly.
It's not a problem. No, I don't think he will spend it quickly. I think that is a problem if you get 250 million. That's not easy to spend.
Yeah, I could almost get a scalped PS5 for that much.
Almost. Yeah, you'd have almost to decide, do I want a PS5 or do I want a new graphics card?
Yeah.
I mean, I only have 20 billion.
Or a small country somewhere. I don't, it could, you know, one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Just buy Sony and then get one sent to you.
That's it. That's the best way to do it.
But then the gut punch would be when you're talking to the board and you say, what do you mean you can't send me one? I own the company.
Yeah. That would be it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wasn't there an American that had a shaver company and he couldn't, Remington?
Remington,
and he bought
yeah
the company.
I liked it so much. I bought the company. Yeah.
Oh, right. I forgot about that. How's that going now? I mean, is Remington even still a thing?
I believe so.
I mean, after this past year, does anyone need a razor?
I've been using Amazon razors. They're pretty good.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, Mueller, what's your story?
Okay, just let me copy it. It's lucky I had a few stories because I add that to a gaming story. There you go. So WhatsApp, well, Facebook, and a few other the large social media people are all suing the Indian government because they're trying to block them and force them into giving, well, turning over some of their IP, I think, and violation of privacy rights. Modi, I think, he's a little bit of a, shall we say, we can't get political, can we, really, but he's very much in control and wants to stay in control. And we know a few people like that.
Mm-hmm, we do.
And he's, yeah, let's not go any further, but he's trying to get these social media companies to hand over people's details, the post stories or anything that criticizes the government, particularly like WhatsApp is obviously encrypted end to end. I can see actually if they lose this, I can see some of these just leaving India because I don't think they would want to do that. A lot of Indians are turning to other Signal and things like that, but wouldn't Signal just end up being the same situation as WhatsApp?
Eventually.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think this is something. There was I don't know, Rich, did you watch Panorama last night?
No.
Oh, go watch it. Really. If you can get, it was on about machine learning, the way the Chinese government are using it, not just the Chinese government, but the way the US military are using it. We could all get killed by little mini drones being dropped from planes that land on our foreheads and shake charges into our heads. Absolutely horrific. And this is all stuff that can happen now. And the arms race at the moment is between the US and China. It's not even Russia anymore. Watch that, it'll scare you.
Okay. Sounds like a laugh.
I'll try and get the link.
Let's all go do something fun, like watch how the government can blow our heads off with drones.
I assume they can. I mean, I just work on that basis.
I mean, isn't that what drones are being used like multiple times every day already? I mean, they just blew up the building or your car with you in it, but they don't care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but these are like little tiny drones with a little bit of C4 in them or whatever explosive they want to use. You could literally toss a handful of them into a meeting room and they would zap everyone in the room.
Could I not previously have just done something like throw a grenade into a meeting room? It just feels like existing warfare with extra steps. That's all.
A grenade, I see what you're saying. A grenade is not guaranteed death, though, is it? These things would literally land on every single person. All right,
two grenades. Is it? If you want guaranteed death, you just blow up the building.
Exactly. Oh,
yeah, but don't be a protection
As we've seen in the last, 20 years almost.
Yeah, but these were talking about if you were, say, a nefarious person, say, going into the American government, and then just launching these little drones. Obviously, if you had a big drone, I'm sure that the Americans would shoot it out the air. I'm sure they got something that would detect as a drone that didn't belong to them that was big enough to do that and blast it out the air anyway. So. It's well worth a watch. It's on BBC. If you can get onto iPlayer in your particular countries and have a watch, it's scary. It's totally different from this story, though.
Oh, right. This story. WhatsApp, India.
Yeah, let's go back to this story.
Oh, yeah, WhatsApp. Yeah.
What was the story?
Well, it's WhatsApp and Facebook are suing India over privacy issues, which is quite shocking that it's Facebook suing another country to protect privacy. So,
See, I think what they need to learn in India is you just let people criticize the government and then go and walk away, and that works. It works over here. It worked in America for 4 years. Yep. So, yeah, I did all that. So what?
Yeah.
And just people will then just get you back in. It's good.
It's a lot less expensive than
it really is. Yeah. It's a lot cheaper, and Facebook don't see you. But then again, I'm also on board with annoying Facebook, so I don't know quite where I stand on this one.
Yeah,
I don't know who I want to win or lose in this. It's I don't know if they could somewhere destroy each other in the battle. That would be the best way to do it, but.
And spin off WhatsApp in the process, and let it do its own thing again, and give us proper end-to-end encryption, and not mine our chats for advertising, and or at least inject ads in.
I tell you, I would happily move to Signal or Telegram. I don't know which it is of those two I'm supposed to move to. I hear things about both of them and I get them mixed up, but it's really down to everybody else. If there's nobody to talk to, I can't make the move.
Well, you can talk to us.
Oh, well, there you go. That's a start.
That's a start.
I'm on Signal and Telegram, and no one is talking to me on either. It's messages and WhatsApp. That's where people talk to me.
That's it.
Jeff is still on app.net.
App.net. Good times. Yeah. Little side note to this lawsuit. Expect a lawsuit in Florida any day now, because Florida just passed a bill into law that prevents social media networks from blocking the accounts of conservatives or people that are using their platform in a dangerous way and need to be blocked.
That could only happen in Florida, couldn't it? Yeah. That is such a Florida thing.
There are a couple other places where it could happen too. Mm. North Korea.
Yeah.
Arizona.
Here.
Places like that.
Yeah.
That's
Russia,
true.
Probably. China.
Florida.
Yeah.
Russia's got their own.
Mm-hmm. No, Russia already has this.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
it is.
I mean, honestly, it is a very, very difficult thing. I mean, I'm with Rich. I like to annoy Facebook. I think that's a fun game. But it's very difficult for a lot of companies to operate in countries like that. I mean, it's a whole, like, India and China are kind of, in a sense, very similar. They're very, very big. They have a lot of people. They're big markets, big up and coming markets. But they have governments that are very special. Let's put it that way.
That's a wonderful way of putting that. That is wonderful.
And I mean, it is very difficult for basically any company to operate in those markets, because on one hand, you kind of have to comply with those laws. On the other hand, what's your alternative? Like, if you want to be in the market, you have to comply with the laws, if you like them or not.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not in the market, then you're losing about 2 billion people, 2 billion customers, which is also not good for your business.
And you're also potentially losing production facilities.
Oh, yeah, especially in China, yeah. Both China and India nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So there is, as I said, it's very difficult. Plus, I mean, there's always the argument, if you're not in a country, you can't change it. Like, if you're there and you have a foothold there and you have people on the ground and you have like also business there. So like the government has something to do, the governments in this case have something to lose if you move away. It is easier for you to change things. So it's, as I said, it's a very tough thing to be in those countries. I don't think suing anybody in China would do anything. I don't know, if Google tried to sue China or Apple, Chinese government would just shrug and just continue.
Just ignore them.
Pat the company on the head and say, mm-hmm. That's so cute.
I'm kind of surprised that the government is allowing itself to be sued in India. Oh. I mean, especially if we're talking about somebody who is a little bit morally ambiguous on his reasoning for wanting to stay in his job and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe he could just be like, yes, can't sue me. I'm in charge of India.
He probably hasn't changed the law enough yet.
That's it. Get on with that. That would solve the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, allowing yourself to be sued and being concerned about the outcome are two different things. I mean,
they are actually.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like not allowing like they an don't election know who their judges are.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. Yeah.
I mean, it gives people the illusion of control.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like, as you said, it's like those elections. Like, yeah, a cute election.
Mm-hmm. All right. So my story is about Google. Google has basically thrown in the towel on smartwatches. But that's not how they're spinning it. They're spinning it as, hey, we have this new partnership where we're going to make really cool smartwatches. So basically what they're going to do is make their own hardware and run Samsung's software on it.
It's still going to be called Wear OS. I think Wear OS, right?
I think
that's the name
still
of
going
it.
To be called Wear OS, yeah. Even though it's not.
Yeah, it's really funny. I mean, this, if you think about it, Samsung basically decided to do their own thing because Google's stuff sucked, and now Google has to kind of admit it, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Google's wearable stuff really sucked. You know it's bad when Samsung is like, yeah, we've got to invent our own.
Yeah.
In a sense, the
market isn't very big right now, because this basically there's the Apple Watch and then there's Fitbit and that's about it. And then like after a lot of nothing, there is Samsung.
Right. And Google owns
that Fitbit. Doesn't mean that the potential isn't there.
Yeah. Yeah, Google bought Fitbit not long ago, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like 1 billion.
Yeah, but the problem with Fitbit is Fitbit is, I think, purely a fitness tracker. And I think it's perceived as that. And anything Fitbit has tried to leave that behind hasn't worked.
That's true. Yeah, you can buy a Fitbit that gives you notifications and... Mm-hmm. And other bits of data from your phone, but they have not been able to make a smartwatch in the sense that Apple has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that is what Samsung has has to some extent succeeded. As I said, it's not as good as it could be, and I think that's what this is about. That if they had full support of Google and the operating system and full integration and everything, it could be better.
Mm-hmm.
Like it could be a first class citizen instead of something that Samsung had to invent that kind of is bolted on top of everything. So I think this is what this is about. But as I said, so far, yeah, there's Apple, there's Fitbit, and then there's nothing.
I think
but the market is there. Like,
yeah, I seem to remember a lot of stuff about Google running into problems with the fact that Qualcomm weren't making any better watch processors because mm-hmm. they were selling so few. It just wasn't worth it financially for Qualcomm to update the product line. So mm-hmm. as Apple are just storming ahead, Google was sat with a four-year-old processor. And
yeah, that kind makes of sense. I mean, you have to recoup the IP costs for a processor before absolutely. You can build the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And Apple are clearly doing well at recouping processor development costs at the moment, if nothing else. And
even if they didn't at the beginning, they didn't care.
Yeah.
Like if the first year or two, it was probably more successful than they expected it to. But even if it wasn't, it wasn't a big problem for Apple.
No, they just
that's true. They can play a long game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm surprised Google didn't, to be honest, rather than this. I'm trying to remember go on.
Google's problem is they're not focused. Google is doing a million different things. We saw it with the Google phones and like everything, every hardware piece they've done. It was very unfocused. It was like, oh, we're doing speakers, kind of. We're doing home automation stuff, kind of a little bit. They're kind of doing a little bit of everything, but nothing really focused. And that's the difference to Samsung. I mean, Samsung is a massive company, but Samsung is also very, focused in the sense they're saying, okay, we're gonna do, 20 different watches. And mm-hmm. we're going to see which one works.
That's true. Yeah, people forget
but they're going to focus on the watch. It's that.
Yeah, Samsung, the way they run their business, it's like they have a lot of businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, because, Samsung is making shipping container ships. And
yeah.
They make
washers and microwaves and I don't know what else. Yeah, cars.
Yeah, they make pretty much everything you can possibly imagine. And each division runs as if it were its own company, pretty much. So, yeah, so when they're doing all this stuff with smartwatches and smartphones, they can have a team that actually focuses on making smartwatches and smartphones.
A literal company, basically. Company within a company that's mm-hmm. just focused on, let's make the, let's figure out smartwatches. So let's build 15 different ones and then see which ones people like.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're doing.
And Muller, you dropped your line in the chat about forgetting about Withings. Withings got bought.
Yes.
Well, they got bought by Nokia, but they got sold back to Withings. They are Withings again.
Yeah, but I mean that's even far behind all the others. Like, yes, it does exist.
No,
in sales numbers, it's far behind.
Oh, sales numbers, yeah.
But
it's an excellent watch, and it's half the price of Apple.
Yeah, I mean, if we count all the watches, there's like all the traditional watchmakers are trying to do their own. Like I know Rolex and so on are doing their own smartwatches.
Mm-hmm. But that's why Fossil bought Withings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are a lot of companies. That's not the problem. But there is in reality, it's really one right now. Maybe two if we count. If he counts up, so.
Mm-hmm. What was the old smartwatch that had an e-ink screen? And I think it was a Pedal starter. Pebble, Pebble, that was it. That was what mm-hmm. I couldn't remember.
Yeah, that one, I think, didn't they fold like a year or two ago?
They folded more than a year or two ago.
Okay.
But it was like a year or two ago when their back-end service totally shut down. Okay. And so you had to migrate your account to this like open source company platform thing to be able to keep using your Pebble.
Okay, that was what I remembered. Yeah.
Yeah, so of course I did that with my Pebble and was quite surprised that that my Pebble account was even still active.
Yeah. And one thing I'm seeing is, and I think that's the big risk for, or to some extent a risk for Samsung and for Google. I'm seeing that the Apple Watch is drawing people into the Apple ecosystem. Not in massive numbers, like it's not that like everybody is switching, but like slowly is creeping up.
And well, I think it is in itself a desirable thing, and if you want to use it, you've got to have an iPhone. That's all there is to it.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So that's drawing a lot of people in. And they're like very slowly. They get an Apple Watch, maybe like an iPhone, but they still use their Android phone. And then they're like, oh, the iPhone is fine. Let's use that. And that is a risk. I mean, as I said, not massive numbers. I mean, I don't think it would be that Apple just takes over everything. I don't think they want to, and I don't think that's going to happen. But it's a risk that they would lose, that they would really lose the entire market. That Apple becomes so dominant in the smartwatch market that it impacts everything else.
Yeah, Apple Watch is really good for lock-in to Apple's ecosystem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I could see if other companies don't produce smartwatches that can seriously head-to-head compete with Apple Watch, then they're just kind of out of the game.
Yeah, and that is Samsung's risk because that's kind of, honestly, one of the few companies that is left over on the Android side. I mean, there's Huawei if you go to China and so on. But like on the global market, it's basically a Samsung game.
Mm-hmm. Is the Tizen OS in any way related to Android or is it just entirely a completely different thing altogether?
As far as I remember, it's still based on a Linux system and it's still based on like a similar technology at least.
Right.
It's built into my TV. But I can use Amazon as well. I can either use A-Lady or I can use Tizen.
Oh yeah, Linux-based mobile operating system backed by the Linux Foundation, developed by Samsung.
So there are some, at least there's a potential that you could still run it on the same hardware.
Right. Okay. I mean, see, I'm assuming is it an app ecosystem issue as well? Are there more Tizen apps than there ended up being? Is that a ludicrous suggestion?
Wouldn't surprise me, as I said, because Wear OS kind of went nowhere.
Mm.
Why not? Yeah. I mean, how bad would it have been for Google if they had to give up Wear OS completely? Basically, stop it.
Oh, that would have been bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a much more graceful exit for Google.
Yeah. But it's still like everybody who knows anything knows that this is what happened.
Mm-hmm. But people also have a very short memory.
That's true.
At least for stuff like this. So in a year or so, when Google rolls out a new watch, people aren't going to be thinking about the fact that they had to bail on Watch OS and turn to Samsung's wearable OS.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. On the other hand, I mean, if it works, why not? Like, let's take the better system instead of sticking with something that's clearly not working.
Mm-hmm.
Take what works, build on it, make it better.
Yep. So there you go. Watch OS. It's dead.
Yeah. You mean Wear OS, not Watch OS.
Wear OS.
WatchOS is not that.
WatchOS, I think, is still okay.
I would say it's fine.
Just a hunch. I mean, hey, it even got an update a couple days ago. Yeah. All right. Hey, this show and all of the others on British Tech Network are sponsored by TSO Host. So that's awesome, because that means that we can be here for you every single week, and that all the shows that you want to go back to watch or listen to, they're there because TSO Host gives us the bandwidth to stream out to you, and they give us a storage space to have all of their shows there for you to watch and listen to at your leisure. So that's absolutely awesome. If you're in the market for a new domain name or for some hosting, they can help you with that too. So hit them up for that. And they'll give you a discount because you're a BTN fan, which is totally awesome. But all they're asking from us is to head over to our favorite social network, give them a shout out, and let them know that you appreciate that they are here supporting British Tech Network. And that's actually really important to do, because that's really the only way that they know that that they're bringing value to us. So give them a shout out. It's important. So as soon as the show is done today, hop on your socials and give TSO Host some love. And they'll really appreciate that. And it goes a long way towards the goodwill that that they're giving us by giving us all of this hosting and streaming bandwidth. So thank you, TSO Host, for that. Also, Iman Max sponsors us. So if you have any Apple gear that needs to be repaired and it's out of warranty, they're the place to go. Instead of just ripping the guts out of your computer, your iPhone, or whatever Apple device it is, throwing that stuff into a landfill and just putting new stuff in, they'll figure out what's wrong with the device and replace that part. So it's really cool knowing that there's a completely competent Mac and Apple gear service center out there that's also thinking about the environment. Also, if you need to buy some Apple gear, they've got you covered, because they'll sell you new and used. They also lease equipment, which is really great, because if you have a business and you need to be replacing your Apple gear on a regular basis, leasing may be a better option for you. I'm sure that your financial team will let you know. But the point is, they can take care of you if that's what you need. They'll give you a discount for being a BTN fan as well. And they have some really cool stuff that you can pick up from them that's not a Mac or an iPhone or iPad. Like, you can get an Iman Max mug from them, or a Qi charger, which is just really cool. And someday I will have these items that I covet. So hit up TSO Host, give them a thank you on social media. And when you need to get your Apple gear fixed, head on over to Iman Max. Thank you to both for being our sponsors. Both companies absolutely rock. Let's see. That brings us up to the cool thing, but before we do that, Patrice, will you do the part where you bail me out every single week and tell people where they can find the chat room with all our links?
Oh, of course I will. It's super easy. Just take your browser of choice. I don't know what it is, but just take that. Point it to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then navigate to the 27th of May, 2021. And there you will find all the lovely stuff that has been written in the chat room, including all the links and everything we've talked about.
Awesome. Thank you for having my back every single week. I know by this point, I should have that URL memorized, because it's not difficult. Yet here we are. All right, on to the cool things. Patrice, what do you have?
So my cool thing is a YouTube show. They just reached, was it 800,000 subscribers, something like that. some big number after 10 years. It's a show from the UK called Fully Charged. How do I describe it? It's a show about electric cars and like renewable in general, renewables like solar and renewable energy and anything that is kind of around that, kind of future tech, you could almost say. The guy that, one of the main hosts, Robert, I can't spell his last
Llewellyn.
Name, pronounce his last name, Llewellyn, okay.
Llewellyn. It's Crichton from the Dwarf.
Now he's well known. Yeah, he has played. I think he's an actor originally, but he's really really good at like reviewing cars and like not the like professional car reviewer thing where like they drive on tracks or whatever. No, like the you and me kind of review where the like he takes the car and drives around like in normal driving conditions and like tells you what to think about it. And he's really really good. Like he's not above like getting other people into the like on the show to talk about stuff. Like if he needs an expert, like he won't pretend that he is the expert. He will get someone who knows. Like he has done episodes about like installing car chargers at home, and he got someone in from another company to like talk about that, like what are the options and like how does it work and all of that. So really, really, really good show. Always enjoyable. He has reviewed, I would say, most electric cars on the market right now. He's constantly getting access to even pre-production cars now. Like now that he's getting well known, he's also getting access to cars earlier. I think he got one of the first IE3s in the UK. And I think also the ID4, like even before it was even available at all.
He's got a Stargate. He's got the 5 coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably. Yeah. And so it's just a really good show. And he's very, very relatable. He's now working with someone in China. Some person he knows from the UK who lives in China, and I think in Shanghai, he reviews Chinese cars, for example, which is something that we're going to see more and more now. So he has someone in the US that gets early access to Teslas and does the reviews there. So it's not just always him, but in general, it's, as I said, good production. And the good thing is it is completely independent. Like it's fully paid by basically Patreon and YouTube subscriptions.
Wow.
Like it's not paid by anybody else, other big production companies or whatever.
He was the first person to do the Rivian when the Rivian, mm-hmm. before the Rivians came out, because I watched that.
Yeah.
He actually went over, well, not him, but one of the others went over there to see the Rivians. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
It should be coming out very soon.
I think so, yeah. So as I said, if you're into anything like that, as I said, he's done stuff about not just, I mean, the main focus is Fully Charged is about cars, but he does talk about other stuff if it's relevant.
Is that like solar power? Well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, electric bikes.
Scooters, they do scooters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can they've, tell they've done any anything that's kind of around electric transportation and batteries and power in general. So really good show.
Very cool. Awesome.
And free. Like, I mean, support him for sure, but it's free. Just go to YouTube.
Very cool. Awesome. All right, Rich, what do you have?
I'm struggling this week, I'll be honest, but I'm going to replug. I know I've talked about this, not only today, but in the past. I'm going to replug Xbox Game Pass again because I've just brought it up again and they've added more new games since I last looked. And I'm even more sort of over the moon and amazed at how good value this is for money, because I've been wanting to play the Maneater Shark game since that came out, and that's still 30 quid on Steam, and it's in there now. And several others, what was it, Psychonauts, Just Cause 4, Final Fantasy 10, if you don't like much game around your cutscene, there's that. And all the EA games, the EA Play is now part of it. So if you want to play FIFA or Madden or Jedi Fallen Order or Command and Conquer Remastered or Star Wars Squadrons without giving money directly to EA so you can sleep a little bit better at night, then they're all on there as well. And that's before you get on to all the Bethesda stuff, which is... it's $7.99 a month. Like, you just get this and you don't need to buy a game ever. It's
a pound a month for first 3 months as well. Still,
right.
I need to get onto that.
Honestly, it's just so good. I have no idea how they're doing this economically behind the scenes. I cannot imagine how they are sharing out that money from that I give. When I give Microsoft my $7.99, how much does Ubisoft get when I play Just Cause 4? I can't imagine how that works or if it's a lot or what, but wow.
Over time it is.
Microsoft. Sorry, say that again.
I said over time it is. I mean, that's how it works. Like Microsoft probably takes about, I don't know, 30%.
Yeah.
And the rest is distributed amongst whatever games you played. And I said over time, if you keep playing a game, they're going to make probably more than when you had bought it. If it's a good game.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Ubisoft will be a bit stuck with that one then. But apart from that, yeah. Oh, there are so many Assassin's Creed fans just seething at me right now. Sorry, everybody. go climb a tower and then open up the area. Sorry. Yeah, so that's my thing. That's my thing. Xbox Game Pass again. Sorry, low effort, but it's so good. And they've awesome. Added a Resident good Evil one. 7 since I last looked.
He's getting very excited.
Yeah, I'm going to close that now because it's just exciting. I've only got so much time in a day.
Yeah.
All right. Mahler, what's your cool thing?
I've just put it in there, and it's linked to actually Patrice's one. It's Dricycle. It's actually on that website as well, but I actually saw it on a cycling website. I haven't got one. They're £14,000. But these are basically e-bikes. Like, do you remember the little Messerschmitt cars from the 60s? They're about the same size as a Messerschmitt car, little bubble car. My dad had one of them. And if he got into the garage and he pulled up too close to the wall, he couldn't get out because they didn't have a reverse gear. These do have a reverse gear.
How can you have a car without a reverse gear?
No, for those cars, the reverse gear was you got out and you just pushed it back.
Pushed it. But you couldn't get out of it. But if you got too close to a wall, you couldn't open it because it opened that way. But this is basically an e-bike. And it's for people that don't want to get wet. I haven't seen one on the road yet, and I could imagine that you wouldn't want to do it on an A road, but
no.
Side roads. No. I mean, it reminds me of the C5 from the 80s. You know,
it's kind of in between, like a smart car and a bike or a scooter. It is
an e-bike though. That's the whole thing. Yeah. You have to pedal it or it don't move. But you're enclosed in it. It's got, if you look at the video, it's got good crash protection. But I mean, in big cities, I suppose actually you'd probably get around just as fast because with all the stuff that's going on in our city at the moment, you can't move around. The only problem I would say that you're not going to get onto cycle tracks with it because some of the cycle tracks obviously are meant for pedal bikes, not for these kind of things. So. Or the canals network, but I would love to have a playing one. I really would.
How much did you say they were?
About $14,000. So they're a little bit on the pricey side.
It's a bit expensive. It has a top speed of 15.5 miles per hour.
Well, it's
a 50-mile range. Yeah. Unlimited pedal range, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can get a Ford Focus that's 2 years old with titanium spec for $12,000.
It's not that small.
It's not, but it goes much faster and further and is warmer and comfier and bigger, and you can put all your shopping in it and your family and your friends.
I mean, to be honest, you can get a cargo bike. You can get an electric cargo bike for half that price. That can transport more and is, well,
it looks,
it does rain, but it's not that bad.
These things look fun, and I accept they're better than a bike, but at 14 grand, I'm into car at that point.
Yeah,
I really am.
Yeah, I think the smart cars are cheaper. Like, even a new smart car is probably less than that now. Less or about the same?
I'd have to look it up. They don't buy Mercedes, aren't they?
I'm just totally engrossed with the link to the Messerschmitt car that Batwinch dropped into the chat room. Oh my God. It even has two seats in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one behind the other.
My great-grandma used to own one. She talked about that a lot.
There was a French version as well, but I can't remember the name of that, that was very similar. But they were basically two-stroke engines. So unfortunately, my dad's, if the wind was going in the direction, would blow the smoke back into the cabin. Which wasn't healthy. But they, I think they're quite expensive at the moment because you can still get them, obviously secondhand, but obviously classic cars now, and people just don't want to let go of them.
It's just, oh my God. I've seriously never even heard of a Messerschmitt until today.
Yeah. By the way, the Renault Twizy, which is like, it's a small car, but it's a car, is about 12,000, starts at 12,000 pounds new. So, and that's a car, like kind of one-seater car.
I watched another, I'll try and get the link later, but there's a bloke and he de-restricted one of those. Flipping hell. I mean, because they have a limiter on them, but he de-restricted it. And obviously you lose range. I think the range went down from 70 miles down to about 30, but it could do about 90 in it. 90 miles an hour in a Twizy. Jesus.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's safe.
Okay. I think I'd want to do
it. It doesn't sound safe.
I'd be very sure it's not safe.
But... No. Although those Messerschmitts remind me of probably another vehicle you wouldn't have heard of, Jeff. The three-wheelers here. And literally, if you went round a corner and you went out too fast, you could literally turn them upside down.
Hey God. And then what? You just climb out, roll your car back upright and keep going?
Pretty much.
Oh my God. How are all of you people not dead?
It is amazing, isn't it?
It's kind of
that's just holy crap. Okay, my cool thing is not new, but it's fracking awesome, and it's a VLC player. And nice. The reason I'm picking this today is because I've had like three different people over the course of the last week ask me how to play some esoteric media file they have. And the answer has always been, well, VLC player. And there you go. So Mac, Windows, Linux, iOS, and Android. So it'll run on whatever you have. And it's absolutely awesome. And a couple of the people that were asking me, what can I play specific file types on? They're asking about FLAC because, you know, after Apple's announcements, all of a sudden there's a lot more people interested in higher resolution audio files and FLAC in specific. So here you go. Now you can play all your FLAC files for free, watch basically every single video format you can think of for free, and pretty much any audio format for free. There you go. Just get it. It's awesome.
We used to download codec packs to try and make stuff work. And you'd get this thing off. Yeah, you'd find it on LimeWire or somewhere like that, and you'd install it thinking, this is definitely hosing my system. This has definitely got spyware and malware and everything else in it. But if I don't put it on, I can't watch this Simpsons that I downloaded.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd do that, and then VLC came along. and it just does everything, and it's amazing.
It's magic. It's wonderful. And they don't charge for it. They take donations, but they don't charge for it. Yeah, I can't imagine having a computer without VLC player installed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, no.
It is my go-to when I have to test anything streaming related, like for the show here, for example.
Yeah,
it's what I use.
It's awesome. Yep. All right. So we have survived yet another show. We've stayed pretty near the rails today, which for us is surprising. So, Patrice, where can people find you?
I'm not so sure about the rails thing.
Well, it's relative.
It's relative. Yeah, relative to other big shows we've stayed. Yeah, okay. Anyway, you can find me every week here on the big show and also Friday on the big show, so tomorrow. You can find everything I'm doing, all the links and social medias and projects and whatever, on thepatrice.com, not patrice.com, thepatrice.com. And my podcast is The Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com, where I just posted last weekend an episode with Mike Rose. And that was really interesting. We talked about food in New York and food in Germany, since he has some experience with that. So worth a listen.
Awesome. Rich, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Barking, but mainly at earlymorningbarking.com, which is where I post all my videos about BPD and MPD and other mental health things. That's pretty much it, I think. Yeah.
Cool. And Muller, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter a little bit, Facebook, the usual Slack room, and now I'm on Garmin. Doing my cycling. So I've just bought myself my Garmin, obviously. And I'm getting into that now.
So now we can see where you are at any given time just by checking your Garmin account.
Yeah, once it updates, yeah.
And that could be cool or very disturbing.
Well, if you're really that interested in following me down the canals of the West Midlands, feel free.
All right. Okay. And I am Jay Gamut on Twitter and Instagram. And on Thursdays, I'm here on The Big Show. On Fridays, on The Mac Show. Tuesday evenings, U.S. time, I am quite often on Mac Voices Live. And this is Thursday, isn't it? So that means this evening, I'm going to be a guest on In Touch with iOS, which is also live. And I guess I kind of get around. Oh, I did Media Plus with Charlotte Henry. What is today? Thursday. So it would have been at the beginning of the week. And we talked about the Apple TV Plus series, The Line, and specifically the podcast for The Line. And I have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/jgamut. And the most recent video is me explaining why you can't play high-res audio to your AirPods or AirPods Max. And more videos coming soon. So, yes, I get around. And Muller, the name you dropped into the chat room, I have heard on more than one occasion people are planning on making a shirt for me that says that.
Also funny that three times you had to remind yourself what day it is.
He just knows what podcast is on. That's all he goes by now.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's all on my calendar. My watch beeps at me, and I look at it, and I'm like, oh, 15 minutes till that show. Okay. And then I do a show. All right.
It's going to come a time you're on two shows.
All of you are absolutely awesome. This is always so much fun to get to hang out with you doing the big show when Ewan isn't here. Even when he is here, it's still fun. So thank you to the three of you for making my Thursday just so much better. You all absolutely rock. And thank you to everyone that is watching live and part of the chat. All of you are fracking awesome. and loads of fun. I want to give every single one of you a hug, and maybe someday that can happen. And then to those of you that tune in to watch or listen to the recordings later on, thank you for being part of the show as well. All of you are awesome too. And I love absolutely every single one of you. So tomorrow morning for me, I guess it's tomorrow afternoon for all of you, is the Mac show. And I'm looking forward to that. And word on the street is that we'll let Ewan back out of his controlled habitat again so that he can join us for that. All right. Thanks again for being here. We'll see all of you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
And there we go. Bye. We have our show. Okay. So the question that I have for everyone now is based on Batwench dropping a link to the Reliant Robin into the chat room, and I went and looked at it. Isn't that Mr. Bean's car?
No, Mr. Bean drove a mini.
That's a mini.
Oh, he drove a mini.
No, actually, no. There is an episode of Mr. Bean where he pushes one of those cars back onto the street.
You're absolutely right. He has a rivalry with a Reliant Robin.
Yep.
Okay.
Like so in a parking, a parking garage or something.
Okay. Yeah.
You're probably thinking Only Fools and Horses. But that's technically, technically that's not a Reliant Robin because that was a van, and I can't remember what they called them. They're made by the same company. They're basically the same chassis. But he had a Reliant one, and it was a van, and they went everywhere in it.